Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host Matt Marrero, who is currently having some computer trouble, which means that Satish Ram cannot get in as of yet. If Satish Ram can hear me, which I'm pretty sure Satish Ram can, get yourself in, buddy. Nah, but I love him, but there's some computer trouble on my end. I'm currently hosting tonight. However, he can get himself in if he really tried and believed hard enough, if he believed hard enough. But before he gets in, I would like to tell you all, thank you for watching our Pokemon Abridged video on our YouTube channel. The many of you, the tens, if not dozen of you, if you don't know about it, yes, we have ourselves a YouTube channel, youtube.com/thoseguys. And, you can check us out there. We'll have constant video updates, weekly video updates, and a lot more cool stuff to come. But as of right now, we're talking about Gravity Falls, the newest episode, by the way, episode 9. And, the good and the bad and possibly the ugly. I know Satish wasn't a big fan, but I myself enjoyed it. Finally, not really. Satish has come home.
No, all jokes aside, it's great because tonight's the night where I'm like, hey, Matt, my laptop's not working well. So I was just going to let you know on air, my laptop's not working well, so you're going to have to run the board. And the first thing I hear is, well, I can't even put him on air.
You know what's great? You know what's great, though?
This is what I
you said finally, and then the page loaded.
It knew. But I was just so, because I had to scramble for my phone, and once I got the studio on my phone, for some reason, it wouldn't let me. It allowed me to put myself in the caller queue, the listening section, or mute myself, but not to put myself on air.
Interesting.
Because I couldn't touch that button. So I had to load it in desktop mode.
Okay, good. So it wasn't just me, I guess.
Glad to be here so we can talk Gravity Falls.
Hopefully all of you can hear us live. Hopefully none of you had issues hearing us, I had issues getting on, because it told me, I'm always put on default on, because I'm the host. So hopefully all of you heard me. Hopefully you all can hear us again.
Yeah, no, I heard
iTunes.
You clean. I heard you
clean.
Okay,
good.
So
okay,
we're good.
Good.
But
you can also hear us later on iTunes, by the way, which in about a good 3 hours from the show's completion, and, an hour-long show, you will be able to hear us through iTunes by searching up Those Guys.
Hmm? We're everywhere now, when you think about it. We've got
technically,
iTunes.
Yeah.
We're on YouTube. We've got ourselves a Tumblr website. We've got ourselves a Facebook, a Twitter, an Instagram. Basically, if there's social media, we're there.
Yes, and we'll talk about those more later. Especially, I talked a bit about our YouTube, obviously, but we'll talk more about
thank you for watching, y'all. But
yes, and keep on watching for the future. But yes, so what did you think about this episode? Because I know you.
This is weird for me, and it was hard for me to understand. I sat there for a while. It's been a while since we saw the episode, because it came out, about a week and a half ago, maybe?
Right.
And it's taken me a while to try, because I know I didn't like it, to be honest. I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it, and I was trying to figure out why I didn't like it and how I could explain to people what bothered me so much.
Mm-hmm.
About this episode. And I finally, I got to point some stuff out, but originally what I was describing to you was the idea for me that it felt like Mabel as a character is given so much more of a pass than Dipper.
Mm-hmm.
Where, and now this is inbuilt in their characters, where it's shown that Mabel is a bit more immature than Dipper. Dipper's more grounded, down to earth. And as a result, Mabel's more of a social butterfly and Dipper is more introverted.
Mm-hmm.
So built into their characters in terms of maturity, immaturity. But it's weird because Mabel, throughout the series, it's been pointed out, especially in, I'm going to say, sock opera, that Dipper often makes sacrifices for Mabel. And essentially things have always been going Mabel's way throughout the way the show has gone. And so it was weird for me that even when she screwed up big time and did something she really shouldn't have, that the story twisted around where it's like, no, man, even Mabel's screw-ups are amazing. Like, where it felt like a John Cena thing for me, where it's like, can do no wrong, Mabel.
Yes. I want to say two things.
That bothered me.
Yeah, I want to say two things. First off, you know, our YouTube channel apparently is a bunch of numbers and letters. So you can get it through our Tumblr, which we'll talk about later.
Fuck!
Apparently it's not. No, I hate that, right? I hate that, where it's just because of so many channels popping up, it isn't just those guys. It's Yuke the Dust 9. So we'll talk, you know, we'll post that up on our Tumblr later, as we did previously with the new Pokemon video. But anyway,
right.
When it comes to this episode, I actually agree with you. And I thought I was going to disagree with you, because what happens is, as you mentioned,
you're
great. it was that twist. Because what happened was, let's say the episode is 22 minutes long without commercials, right? 20 minutes it took for me to go, 20 minutes throughout the whole time, I was like, nope, Satish is wrong. Maybe not completely, because I could see where you're coming from, but Satish is wrong. The second, though, it hit, hey, Dipper, yeah, Mabel, you hear the music in the background? Maybe we shouldn't meddle anymore. And
that's
it was for me too.
Because it's not like I didn't enjoy the episode. But it was just, when that hit, I was like, are you kidding me? Because
the episode is actually perfect, sans that one part. I mean, come on. I eat kids.
Oh, no. I lost it. Like, I lost my breath at the whole, like, kids are going to love this. And, you know, Seuss already warning him. And then just later on, Mommy, is the giant flaming balloon going to eat us? Yes.
It is, Charlie.
God.
No, No. When that happened, I have to admit, I had to pause it because I laughed. Look, I laugh a lot. You know me. I laugh a lot. I think a lot is funny. You know, I like a lot of different things. But when that happened, I was crying. I mean,
crying. That entire scene, and then the pan out to the flaming head about to, like, hit the tree. I was laughing hysterically because I'm like, this is incredible. Like,
and
I mean, it was horrible, but it was funny as shit.
The music is what got me, I think. Like, the Ave Maria thing with, like you mentioned sock opera. The Ave Maria situation also did that to us.
Yeah,
where it's the music that can really make the scene, and it made it there because it was just death. And that, and then Stan's line later, just talking about in his day, balloons were falling like raindrops, and I thought, damn it, Stan.
Oh no, it was terrible. Like, okay, so yeah, outside of that twist for me, that's what bothered me, because it's not like this was badly written dialogue wise. It's not like I didn't really think everything was a realistic situation. You know, it just really irked me that, like, Mabel can go ahead and drug someone, and it's fine. Like, I didn't like that, because it's not like she hooked them up based on the virtue of her matchmaking. She drugged them.
Right, and,
so,
I feel the same, you know.
Yeah,
because when you go back to the beginning, and I was actually hoping that maybe they wouldn't work out, but they would maybe work out at first or something, because, you know, you've seen on some shows and in real life, that two opposites, you know, two people that can argue, you know, argue whatever, they can get together.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. So I thought that was going to happen. And then the love god appeared, which I will admit, I love the love god. I really do.
I loved his depiction and everything. Because he called himself a cherub, too. Like, so it was just, everything
it
he did was
sense.
Cool.
Yeah. But then, of course, you know, she ends up taking the potion, and then it just, man, you know.
Yeah, because essentially, she stole from a mythical being using something. Mm-hmm. So she used a non-human drug on peoples and on mortals. And it's like, in perspective, I didn't like that kind of message. You know, so Gravity Falls is not free of my criticism. As much as I love the stuff that they do, I don't think that was a good direction to take it. Because, and then also on top of that, maybe things will work out immediately in 30 seconds. Oh, everyone likes each other again because Thompson's getting beat up.
Here's the thing. No. The thing is, that's okay. They went for a good message. The problem is that, you know, like, this usually happens in WWE when we notice, where we go, oh, that was good, but they weren't thinking about this. So it's a situation where in this episode, they went for a good message, but they forgot, you know, they forgot they left the stove on and the house is going to go on fire. You know, like, they forgot that they left that there, which wasn't something that you can leave there. And, hey, maybe kids won't pick up on that. but it's still something that really isn't good to leave there and use that. So, because again, it's a good because a good message is, listen, don't become a person who has to now meddle your unmeddles. I mean, I know friends did that once. Where it's just, no, we have to. I have to unmeddle this. And it was like, Chandler, stop. Chandler, stop, you know, because he screwed up once and now he has to try and unscrew it, but he ends up screwing it up more. So I get that message. And hey, you know what? In life, things do end up working out, right? But it's still a weird thing because, like you mentioned, using that potion made something happen that wasn't supposed to happen.
That's the thing.
And also,
like,
also
because
it's a kid's show, right? You have your love potion, you have your anti-love potion. It's as simple as that. It's like, it isn't like in you know, in our world where it would really be all of this gray. It was fairly simple to just unlove them.
Right. She was a foot away, and it's just, it bothers me because people be like, oh, they're happy now, and the group is happy. That's a falsely created reality.
Yes. That's the thing, you know, where it's just like, you know, the group, no, the group is good. But Tambri and Robbie are, like you said, falsely created reality. And it just gets weird to me, you know, because I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where I guess the do you know the writer for this episode specifically?
I do not.
Okay.
Luigi,
well,
probably has it. But it's just one I don't like because the group is okay, right? But
right.
Tambri's dating Wendy's ex, and they're supposed to be close. And Robbie, based on what was told, was aware that Tambri, you know, that his friend liked Tambri. But
yes,
he doesn't know that now because love potion. It's just like, it doesn't jive with
Yeah. Him. No. And I understand. I understand. You know, it's just the idea that I think that they, you know, I'm looking right now to see who wrote this because, and I want to see their track record because usually the show has a very good track record with things like where it would not, you know, where it wouldn't think like, oh no, we'll just let this slide unless it was used for real, you know, comedic effect. But because this was a very somewhat serious episode, you know, usually that does not happen. So yeah, on this episode, we had Alex Hirsch and someone named John Weinstein, looking him up as we speak.
Cool.
But yeah, so it's just that it's kind of funny where it's just usually we have such great things to say about, you know, episodes, but now it's just, we don't like it. Thank you all. Good night.
Yeah. And I guess what also hurts me too, as a bitter person, because we have to wait till sometime in January for another episode. So this is the feeling.
Oh,
you know, this is right.
Oh.
The next up, yeah. Next up. What?
That's a, no, it's that feeling. Just, oh.
Yeah, it was like, this is not the episode I wanted to leave off on. I don't know if it's a mid-season finale or whatever, but it just kind of is like, for me, because I didn't like it as much, and now I don't know what the hell is going to happen.
Here's why. Okay, so we did have, we obviously had Hirsch's name in there because, of course, he's overseeing these. But Josh Weinstein, this is his first episode of Gravity Falls. And he's a well-known writer for The Simpsons and Futurama. So I guess certain things in the episode did make sense in terms of the funny stuff, right, and where they went with it. And I guess maybe – I don't want to say that, you know, it's a strange thing where I don't want to say that he's a bad writer, but usually the shows that he writes on, I would argue, are very episodic. And this episode – could, while some would say it's filler, has elements that will be picked up in the future.
Yeah, and just generally also the audience of the other two shows, Futurama and The Simpsons, are more like us,
yes,
you know, and older.
Right.
Gravity Falls, as much as we enjoy it, does, you know, cater to children more than The Simpsons or Futurama would. So for me, it's a big thing where we criticize wrestling a lot for sending the wrong messages to kids because they know that that's their biggest audience. So you look at Gravity Falls, and it's like, I can't let this slide in terms of sending the wrong message to what's, like, you know, what you can do as Mabel.
I get you, Hulk.
Yeah,
sorry, you said let it slide. I want to mention, too, that I'm very happy and I'm very excited to say this. John DiMaggio was the love god. I'm sure you know the name, but you can't picture, can you?
Bite my shiny metal ass.
Okay, good. Right? Bender, he's also been, what was it? He's also been Joker.
in everything. John DiMaggio's been in everything.
Pretty much, yeah. He's been Joker in, it was Under the Red Hood. He has been, as you mentioned, Bender, which is also kind of funny, where they were like, we gotta, it's just like, oh, was it? They came in a package. Like, they came in, like, a two-figure set, where it's just, here's the writer, and here's Bender. So that's great.
That makes sense, considering Bender.
Yes, I'm very happy. But anyway, I'd also like to mention to everyone that our call-in number, by the way, is, if you don't know it, is 718-664-9468. We've had ourselves a little hiatus. So I'm
sitting really,
here just like...
Did you botch our call-in number?
We've had a little hiatus because we didn't do any, like, we didn't stop for Thanksgiving. So it caught up with us. So if you're hearing us live, we haven't, done show since Monday. So I'm thinking 718. There's my number, there's your number. And I was like, let's not give those out on the air. So,
right,
yeah, I want to call in.
664-9468 is our call in number as always. And two things you can do with that number. First off, you can call in to listen if your internet's otherwise preoccupied. Just don't hit the one button. We won't put you on air. But if you do want to be put on air, Matt.
You push the one button.
Same simple.
And and we'll see you there. And we will, put you in the, we'll put you on air. Speaking of, by the way, I just want to mention, I love how the second I mention it, people just start calling in frantically. We have ourselves a caller. So I would like to put, I would like to put him through, or her. We don't know.
Guess who?
Hello,
caller.
Ow.
I don't know, but I'm nervous. Just please give me back my family.
All right, so it sounds like
a Daniel, but Daniel needs to move slightly farther away from his phone.
Oh, wow.
Daniel, you're killing us, Daniel.
I'm sorry. I have it on speaker.
Oh, okay. That makes a lot more sense. So, Daniel, did you like this episode?
I did, but I have my problems.
Oh, well, join the club, Daniel. Come on, sit down, and let's talk. So, what are your problems with this episode?
Okay. One, Mabel, I think drugging people runs in the Pines family.
Yeah, apparently she got that from Grunkle Stan.
Yeah, good callback, actually, to which was supposedly a non-canon episode, but it's worth thinking of.
Yes.
It's worth mentioning.
And two, they treat Thompson horribly. I have a thing with my thing is with Thompson. Like, I don't like seeing Thompson. Just his only purpose is to be made fun of, so they can keep that group of friends together. I don't like that.
No, and I get you, but it's weird though because, in some relationships, you'll notice that there are people who consider themselves peacekeepers. And as long as that person isn't, like a spouse or something like that, where that just becomes a very much like abuse. In this case, I'm not saying that I'm like going, that's obvious, kids should do that. Which again is another weird thing too, to kind of put into like, this kids show. But I do, you see it sometimes where someone will take, some brunt or something and be like, well, we're holding the group together. Also, I love these guys as friends. And hopefully, this is just me throwing something out there. Hopefully in the future, it would show another life or death situation where maybe they all have to save Thompson. So it doesn't look like Thompson is just getting shit on every day.
Yeah. Oh, and another thing, that cook. One more thing. The cook in the the kitchen where they were making the chili fries. I'm like, wait, did you just let a little girl add something to your chili fries?
That was great.
I think what kind of angered me about that, though, was like I understood the joke, but it was like so blatant in terms of animation where it was like giant pink sparkles. And not only was he okay with that, Robbie looks at it and it's like, yeah, I normally get giant pink sparkles on my chili fries. And Tamri, too, apparently.
Yes.
Well, like, I was hoping animation-wise, it would at least disappear, like assimilate into the chili fries. But it's no, they are eating all sparkles all the time.
And I don't know. I feel like – I'm sorry, Daniel?
No, that's good. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I was saying I feel like because of the writer, you know, I don't want to just blame everything on this writer. To be like, Weinstein, it's all your... No, but it's just the fact that he was... I feel like he was... You know, things were made in a very kind of just in your... I don't want to say in your face, but you know what I mean, kind of way with the comedy. Where it's just, hey, you know, hey, can I... You know, can you let me add some stuff to this? I don't see how that would be a problem. You know, where it's just kind of being very absurd. Because when I think of Simpsons and Futurama, I do think of absurd... But not in a way where I think of Family Guy, where it's just absurd, you know, shock value, stuff like that. No, just very, like, absurd in its humor, and it's sometimes kind of making characters stupid, if you will, or at least a lack of reasoning and common sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what to be said about absurd humor? I mean, there was some really good humor in this episode. I mean, I can assume that's the reason that most of the, you know, the three of us like that. Danny, you've heard our thoughts on it, but how did you feel about the flaming balloon scene?
Oh my gosh! Like, I was like, yes, that is amazing. I was laughing, I was crying, and then I went on Tumblr and I saw Attack on Titan. Like, there was Attack on Titan, but the mom is having this mama. The mom has the sword, and all you see is the balloon coming at her.
That is wonderful. That makes me happy. Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, where, and also the fact that, you know, it's like, what the, you know, it's like, what the H? And in my head, it was like, but I had to look up for it, and then the H fell down, and I thought, damn you, I didn't have enough time to go, did they just say that? No, the H hit. And I go, damn you guys.
That was a smooth little thing, where it's like, what the H? Yeah. Did he just say what the, no, the actual H fell.
H fell, and then the E. And
no,
I'm sorry, the R.
Yeah,
the
it
R,
felt
yeah.
like the South Park thing, where it's like, if, I don't know if you know about the whole thing with the Tom Cruise trapped in the closet thing, but it was like, if you look at the behind the scenes of that episode where Tom Cruise and John Travolta are in the closet for South Park, they're talking about the storyboard stuff, and it was like, well, even with Comedy Central giving us leeway, we were trying to figure out what the hell we could do here. And it was like, well, can we call Tom Cruise gay? No, you can't. Can we call him homosexual? No, you can't. Can we say Tom Cruise is in the closet? No, we're not going to allow you to say that either. What if we put him in a physical closet? And so they got to the point where Tom Cruise was physically in the closet, and the only way they could write the dialogue was, Tom Cruise won't come out of the closet. So, for me, that was the kind of things where it's like, what, the H? You can't say that. Sir, the H is actually falling off the balloon in this scene.
Damn. Tom Cruise is trapped in the closet, and I pull out my gun.
I love
that's
Parks
what I'm, that, or just, Tom, get out of the closet. We're not getting out of the closet. They're just singing, we won't get out of the... No, apparently R. Kelly and Tom Cruise are in the closet. That was actually a good episode, if only because of that kind of punnery. So, yeah, you know, it can be done in Gravity Falls, too, to a certain degree.
Yeah.
So, overall, Daniel, also did not enjoy... Before we go, I just want to make sure you didn't enjoy the... You know, the ending, because it kind of makes it so that it's okay for Mabel to do what she did.
Yeah, you don't like the drugging either, you specifically mentioned, right?
I don't like it. I don't like that, man. That's just weird. It's just like a child drugging a teenager. That's just messed up.
It's weird, too, because, you know, they'd have to use, like, a love gods drug. But, yeah, at the end of the day, it's still just you have been drugged. Now, before we let you go, actually, one more thing. Do you think it's a callback to 90s, like, cartoons, or even 80s, where things like this would just seem more routine and normal? Because, you know, this guy writing for The Simpsons, he clearly isn't just coming out of college. You know, he's done work before, and Futurama as well. So do you think this might be a callback, and that's why it's kind of more, and it's also mythical potions and stuff, so it's more acceptable in their eyes than it is in ours, where we're like, no, that's based, you know, that's a drug.
Maybe, I don't know. It's kind of a gray area there, so.
Yes, like, of course.
But I do want to point out one thing. Mabel and Dipper are getting, I think Mabel and Dipper are getting an arsenal together. They're getting an arsenal, because they have, because keep in mind, they probably still have the, Mind Erase done. They still have the president's key from a while ago, which can open any door in America.
Right.
They still have the what's it called the they now have the love potions, and they have the time and they I still believe they kept the time travel tape measure.
Yeah. So, well, no, didn't that break? Well, wait, no they got new. Okay, you're right. Huh. Well, that is something good to think about because they, like you said, they have an arsenal of weapons that could be used for any future villain. And, of course, every single season, you know, there's going to be some kind of huge villain to fight.
And for what it's worth, Clones 3 and 4 still never came back from that night.
Which is great because I assume that they forgot it at first, but there's no reason why they can't ever come back. And that's what's cool. Where even if it was forgotten at one point, there's no reason why they cannot make a return. There literally is no reason.
Yeah, true.
Yes. So anyway, Daniel, thank you for calling in. We always, you know, love your calls. We're happy that you're back. So, you know, keep on calling in, keep on listening in. And would you like us to put you into the listening section, or would you like us to let you go and you can go listen on your computer?
Just put me back in the listening section.
Will do. And, of course, you know, we can do that to any of you as well. If you want to call in and talk to us on the show, you know, we can put you in. But, of course, you can put you right back into the listening section with ease, as we just did with Daniel.
Cool.
But, yes, Satish, I didn't get to hear what you had to say on the issue. Do you think it's kind of a callback, and that's why it seems a bit more acceptable to them without realizing the, you know, the effects to at least the teenagers and the adults watching?
Oh, yeah, because, okay, so this wasn't, it wasn't directly a drug. And so
right,
it's a weird thing, because, like, it is, Dan, you know, Daniel said it well, he said it's a gray area, and it definitely is, because, now, I can sit there and look at it and say, that's a drug, but verbatim, Dipper calls it a spell in the episode. So it's
right.
A thing where, is a magical spell less, you know, less abrasive, is that less screwed up than a drug? Kind of. You know, if you were to sit there and find a way to convince me that it was a straight magical spell, it would take away
well,
a bit from what I'm feeling, but I still
yes.
think that the overall message is still not right. So,
right,
you know, it's
right,
a,
of course.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, but it is a gray area. Like, 'cause I can understand how people coming from, you know, early 90s throughout that stuff, the humor and writing feel as if that's a bit safer.
Yeah, because the thing is, when you think of, it is a spell in the sense that, you know, it's a magical potion from, yes, from a god, but, you know, I mean, you know, magical potions, I mean, you would have that stuff, let's say, on Sabrina the Teenage Witch, even. But at the end
right.
of the day, it would get reversed.
That's
and everything would be
that,
right.
To bring up,
yeah.
Because usually you wouldn't have any long like Sabrina the Teenage Witch is a great example, because constantly she'd be using her spells on other people. But usually the moral of the episode was, that's probably not the right thing to do, let's make sure we switch it around, because we shouldn't make decisions in terms of being selfish like that.
Yeah.
And in this episode it kind of permits it, so it's weird.
Well, it's weird. Well, here's the thing. I'm still under the impression that, you know, Mabel wasn't doing it for selfish reasons, even though she said, oh, you know, yes, my happiness, you know, is their happiness. But still, it's a lot better than when you look at someone like Dipper, where it's just, hey, you know, I have friends now. We're all cool now. Let's not, you know, try and help out someone else. Because, I mean, arguably, if Dipper was there, Love Potion would not have happened. Now, I'm not blaming Dipper, because, of course, it's Mabel's fault. But still, Dipper was there. He could have overseen things better than just Mabel going rogue.
Yeah, another
so,
thing
but no,
I guess
no.
for
right.
me is Dipper's writing in this episode was
mm-hmm.
very 50-50 for me. It was so-so.
Yes.
Where I understand his need to be accepted and all that stuff, and it makes
uh-huh.
sense to me as an introvert that he's like, I have friends, don't ruin this. But it also felt like a departure from the Dipper character a little bit. Do you know
at
what
least
I mean?
This Dipper. No, well, yes and no. This season's Dipper. I think
yeah.
this is a very good last season Dipper. Yeah, I agree. And I think that, you know, and I hope that this show doesn't end up doing stuff like that. But, you know, there is a chance that by accident in the future, this show may, you know, do what other shows do where, you know, when you have different writers coming in and et cetera, you know, sometimes people end up getting reset without realizing it, where they learn, you know, and people have said that about Steven Universe a bit, but also Steven Universe, the kid's 10. Right, versus Dipper, where Dipper's 12, fair enough, only 2 years, but still, you know, he's
and he's
becoming...
also put off as a mature 12, which is important to remember.
There we go. Mature 12, yes, who shouldn't really be going back on his ideals, even if it's about the friends. And, you know, though, of course, you could argue. It's a weird thing where Dipper, I mean, Dipper did say it was Robbie, but still, like, you know, because, yes, he and Robbie have fought. And I think that's also something you should remember, where, you know, Robbie could have beaten up Dipper. A 16-year-old could have beaten up a 12-year-old, had a muscular video game.
I can understand Robbie not liking or wanting to help Dipper. And at the same time, you know, I could Dipper not wanting to help Robbie. And I can understand Mabel, of course, wanting to help Robbie just because of, like, what goes on in her head. But it was, it's weird for me to think that, like, how it works out in terms of with this drugging. Or I'll say the love potion for sake of, you know, not to piss off anyone who may disagree with my notion of it being a drug.
Yeah, with this potion.
With the love potion. It wasn't like that was the first, okay, in terms of her intentions being pure or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
She failed at matchmaking, and essentially she used that because in her head she could do no wrong as a matchmaker, so one, this would make her more of a perfect matchmaker because she was feeling slighted. And secondly...
Right.
She hadn't stopped to consider the ramifications of matching them up. She was just like, no,
right.
I'm the perfect matchmaker. So because I conceived this match, it needs to work, you know. And she was so proud of herself when she walked back to the crew. And so at the same time, that writing was weird for me. And with Dipper, as you talked about him, I guess, yeah, throwback to last season's Dipper in a way. He did reset in a weird kind of way, because you look at the way he acted with Thompson in the beginning, and I can understand peer pressure and stuff like that, so I wasn't...
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Well, yes.
Yeah, I understand peer pressure in terms of, like, the whole, like, nice use of Thompson thing going on there, but it's also weird for me to think that he's so easily slighted by it.
Well, it's weird. I argue... Okay, I'm fine with that in a way where when you learn about, okay, taking what Thompson said in a different way now, I feel like it is a relationship in the sense that one side gets this, one side gets that, where you could say, oh, well, you know, Thompson always gets used, and Thompson goes, but that is what I give them to get friends.
Interesting. Like, Thompson admitting to the fact that he knows what goes on.
Yes.
I didn't know how to feel about that, because not in a bad way.
No. I understand, because I still feel weird about that. And in the future, hopefully we show more of, you know, oh, God, Thompson is going to die. Well, we will save him, which they've kind of had. It's not as if they hate Thompson. And I think that's also something we should remember, where, again, it really is a relationship give and take, where, you know, Thompson knows what's going on, and they are actually his friends, where if he stopped it, they wouldn't just not be his friends, but things might start getting a bit chaotic because, you know, again, you know, people have feelings. So he's kind of there to placate them in a way. So it's even weirder, where is Thompson the mastermind? And in a way he is, which is even crazier when you think about it that way.
Because it's like, how am I supposed to react to that? I'm glad they put that line in there. But it's hard for me to figure out what I want to react to it, because in my head it's like, well, he knows, he's aware of it. So him letting it happen is his personal feelings, and I can't be upset at that. But at the same time, it's
so,
like, but he's also being, like, sacrificial lambish here. And that's kind of...
But, yes, it is. It is a little strange. But, you know, so the thing is, that's why I'm kind of not mad at Dipper with him doing what he did, because, again, it's kind of just like what they do.
Okay.
You know, as a group.
I see the point you're trying to swing around, where you had
the two of them going, you know, I can't remember names right now for some strange reason, but, you know, it's just, he knew that I liked Tambri. Wait, you like Tambri? You didn't tell me. You make fun of me. That's what we do. Because in some people, you know, because in his mind, it's like, no, like, we're just joshing around. But, it, you know, with that one character, if he's in love with Tambri, he's not going to, he doesn't feel like he wants to be ridiculed for it, because he considers it ridicule, not joking around. So people take things in different ways.
But yeah. It's also to be said that they're teenagers, and so they act like what stereotypical teenagers would like act like.
So, I kind of. But back to Mabel. Right, back to Mabel. It's weird because I feel like she did learn her lesson. She did. So that thing is, she did learn her lesson, and she did teach kids a lesson of don't meddle. But as we keep on mentioning, you know, I don't know why I keep on using fire as an example, but I'm going to do it again. Just, you know what, Dipper, I shouldn't start fires. Great, Mabel, let's put it out. No, Dipper, let's walk away. Mabel, it's going to consume everything, Mabel. Mabel, it's, oh, God, it's everywhere, Mabel. It's, the mystery shack is in flames, right? Where it's just, you know, Mabel's walking away. I learned something today. Like, it's just, you did.
Yeah. It's just a weird message to put out there. Speaking of fire, by the way, it brings me back to the balloon for something that I think I tried to touch with you for a bit in terms of a theory about Stan. But,
oh, right.
Yeah,
right,
it was something I think is worth
before
mentioning.
Before the show.
Yeah. So there's someone on Reddit whose name escapes me right now. I apologize. Pointed out this idea that every time we've seen an effigy of Stan, like a whole something that represents Stan, it's been mangled or killed in some way. So you look back to like the wax figures, and its head was chopped off, and the puppet was burned in flames, the balloon was burned in flames, and.
Yes.
I believe there was something else, too, but I can't hit off the top of my head. But I think it's interesting that, you know, their idea was that this means that Stan may leave us, like Stan may be killed as part of the story. And I don't know if I agree with that because of how, just how important he is.
Right.
You know,
it's hard for
me to jump into that.
I want to disagree, and I'm still disagreeing, but I want to throw in a point in there to not really counter yours, but to add to this other person's point. I want to throw out that they not only showed the graveyard for the first time in this episode for what seemed to be sort of no reason, but kind of a joke, but no reason, and then tied it into Robbie's parents being funeral home directors, who we've never seen before until this episode. So if we ever had to have someone die, we now have two characters that are centered around it in a way.
Oh, God, they were written interestingly in terms of
Love them so much.
Yeah,
I love them so much.
I did like
because,
that.
Yeah, because it fits.
They also mentioned the Stan Pinatas that were completely destroyed by Brenda.
Right. Oh, right, Stan Pinatas, yes.
Yes.
But what I find interesting about his parents, where on paper, so if I told you, right, you didn't watch the episode at all, and I told you Robbie's parents are funeral home directors, you'd sit there and you'd go, I can see it now, it makes so much sense. And I would chuckle because I wouldn't tell you anything more. And you'd watch the episode and you'd go, this was not what was on paper, right? You know, someone wrote a summary and they assumed something different, and then they read the script, and they thought, damn it, because they're just so upbeat and peppy, and it's just, it's great on so many levels, because they're still funeral home, so you still have Robbie being this, you know, yeah, I'm dark, and you can understand why, but his parents are the 180, so you can see, it's just, you know, him, in a way, it's like, I'm rebelling against my parents. No, you're doing the exact thing that they do for a living. You know what I mean? All the black and all the everything. It's great. That, and then also, you know who that sweater would look great on? So-and-so's remains. And I just sat there and I thought, damn it. Also, the crackers were on the guy's, person.
I really loved the way the characters were written. Where it was just a matter of, like... They have to be the cheeriest people in the freaking world. And not only that, they have corpses just, like, holding, the cheese and crackers. And just, you know, Mabel unaffected by this completely. Because all of it's going over her head, because in her head she needs to play Love God. So she's just...
Yeah.
But you look at this from the outside looking in, and it's like, good God. And I really did love at the end when the fucking balloon blew up.
Yes.
Just, wow.
Yes.
I hope nobody died, right, dear? Nope, that would have been terrible. And just, oh my God. Their humor is so dark. But I couldn't help but laugh.
It's great, though, because in my head, I don't see them making that as a joke. I see them being completely straight about it. But it's still terrible no matter what, because either way, it's just, it's business. It's business. Oh, my God. I love them so much. But again, as you mentioned earlier with that theory, it's scary that they were introduced in this episode with those with that theory and with all these versions of Stan dying.
Oh, also,
rest.
In Land Before Swine, somebody, okay, Spiral mm-hmm. of the Fox, okay, the person who created the theory, by the way, to give fair credit, is the Panda of Mexico on the subreddit Gravity Falls. And
okay.
The poster Spiral the Fox also noted that in Land Before Swine, there's a scene where Stan lands in a coffin.
That is scary. You mentioned that. I remember. That is pretty
yeah.
scary.
So there's a lot of there's a. It's very
yeah.
interesting. And it's just...
Minus?
Hints that someone's going to die, I do think. I don't know if
yeah.
it'll be Stan because of how important he is.
It's really funny, in a way, before I go on to what I was going to say earlier. And I say funny only because... It actually is not funny at all. It was actually very heartbreaking, and I feel bad talking about it. It's very funny because it reminds me of Scrubs, and you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I do.
Yes. And if anyone doesn't know, there was an episode where I actually don't want to spoil it, so I'm not even going to fucking spoil it. I'm just going to say as best as I can. An episode where we did not know that a character was dead, and one of the characters was talking to the other character throughout the entire episode, and we just thought, yeah, the two are friends. They're just talking about – it's not Turk or JD. They're talking to the other person about the entire
yeah,
episode.
Yeah, it's not one of the main characters, but essentially
– No. I brought it up because yeah. – no, because hear me out. The way when you explain it, where it's just the two people were talking to each other the whole time. One of them was dead. No one else talked to that person in the
Someone
episode, but you didn't
there.
Catch it.
And thinks,
yeah.
Turk is dead the entire series. No, it's a one-off episodal thing. But
right.
there are really subtle signs in this episode
yeah.
to make us realize that the character is not really alive. And so it throws back, I think this is what you're trying to get, it throws back to these little signs that we might be getting.
Yes.
I
you
get
know,
that.
Where, yeah, and if you don't want to look at it that way, where you know, if you want to... You know, say, I can't think of Stan dead. This is not what it is. Other than the coffin thing, which I have no idea about, you know, about the coffin. But in my eyes, you could see it as Stan is so egotistical that every monument he makes to himself gets destroyed, basically.
Well, let me counter that for you with something then.
Okay.
Stan is potentially a twin.
Right.
And what if that's then a reference to his twin being dead?
That's what I was thinking, too. Where if you want to go for someone dead, it could be his twin, but if you want to get away from all the death, it's just, you know, it's one of those things where it's just, you know, I will make this of myself in my honor. Like, immediately collapses. I was
mm-hmm.
not expecting that. Right, like someone makes a statue, be like, I have made this in my own, like a sandcastle, where it's like, I have made this castle to rule over my kingdom. Someone steps on it. My kingdom is ruined. Right? It's kind of that thing where, you know, you have this bravado, and he's very egotistical and everything. You know, it's about, even though he loves his, you know, Dipper and Mabel and people in the shack, still, it's about him and money and, you know, and all this stuff from the outside. So whenever he makes something that's basically just, here is me in wax form. Hey, look at my pinata. Hey, look at me as pinatas, you know. Look at a giant balloon made of my, you know, made to look like me that says, I heart kids. Because for some reason, he got it in his head, just like any other old person would. Wait a minute. Balloons are around on this holiday. They must like balloons. It's like looking at Christmas and going, wait a minute, the kids like the trees. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's presents under them. No, but the trees are right there. No. That's not a Grunkle Stan impression, by the way. It was, they love trees. Like, no. But for some reason, that's what, you know, what he gets in his head. So he makes a giant balloon of himself saying, I heart kids, and that'll get him. It's just so, yeah, so something in my head wants to, at least wants to, think that. But for all we know, he could pass away at the end of season two, and we can be left with that for season three's opening. It would hurt too much, so I'm hoping that that's not it, but I would be so upset because it would be something they would do, where just we left all these signs, and you would have to sit there and think, ah, son of a... Also, another thing that it would hurt, which it's weird, because I feel like they might want to do it, but Disney won't let them, because it hurts... this is rewatchability. I made up a word, but it's still a thing. You know, where, okay, one person, you know, in Scrubs died who wasn't part of the main cast. It hurts, but maybe you don't watch those three episodes. Maybe they hurt a little bit, and then you continue on with the fun, and you feel happy again. JD or Turk dies, you're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Because for eight, you know, like there were nine seasons. I'm sorry, everyone. There were nine seasons. For... You know, let's say they killed off Turk in the ninth season to try and spike up rating. For eight seasons, you're sitting there thinking, they fucking killed off Turk. They fucking killed off Turk, right? So it's hard to rewatch with that in your head. So, I you know, again, I'm not saying that they're not going to do it. I mean, hell, they've pretty much given Hirsch free rein to do anything, apparently, from what we've seen this season. But I still feel like that's something that they would actually pull back on, where it's just, nope, that's not going to happen on our show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I hope not for artistic integrity, but you never know when it comes to corporations.
No, but swinging it back here to Gravity Falls for a bit, I mean, we've been kind of ragging on it for most of today's podcast. And, again, you know, I want to reiterate to people listening that it's not like Matt and I hated it, especially not the humor, because you look at things like the Woodstick Festival and, like, just generally,
yeah.
You know, what were indoor scarves indoors or something like the bands?
The bands were great. And then apparently when you see the Love God flying after Dipper and Mabel, and then the pig guy, the guy who sold Mabel the pig, is just drinking hippie tea. And he goes,
yes.
None for me. Like, in his head, he's just, not anymore, no thanks.
Yeah, no.
I'm done drinking this.
A great little throwaway moment. You can see they animated in a lot of the characters. The agents are there, of course, as always.
I was going to ask you where the agents were. I did not see them myself.
Okay. I couldn't describe it to you right now, but I believe it's about halfway through the episode when they're panning out going to the fair. There's a
Got
big,
it.
Like... Yeah, they kind of, like, survey the entire scene where there's, like, six bands and stuff like that. And in the background are the agents. Also in the background, Blind Ivan, who is now Toot Toot McBumbersnazzle. But, you know,
he's a musician.
Yeah, which is nice.
Wait, I have a question. Didn't they say he was going to go around and make music? Or was
yes.
I wrong?
Yes.
He ended up getting into – he's one of the – performers.
So he said Woodstick, or at least even if he's not performing, he would attend Woodstick because he loves music. So,
yeah.
Like, subtle stuff like that is really, really cool. And, you know, I still can't get over, I think, the general situation of I eat kids, and then the whole, what is this? Maybe it's God's punishment for our terrible taste in everything.
That was such a perfect line.
Yeah, no, that entire situation was probably one of the, in terms of humor, one of the funniest things they have done on this show to date. And that's
also the Love God having groupies was amazing. Because the Love God, who, by the way, one of them was Puma Shirt Panther.
Yeah, Puma Shirt Panther Shirt guy.
Is one of his groupies. I have a weird question, because my mind is really escaping me. He was part of the Society of the Blind Eye?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I
don't know why, for some reason, my head told me
Gideon,
he was in it.
Gideon's dad?
Yes.
Poof. Okay, Gideon's dad, Toby Determined, Tattoo Guy, Blind Ivan, Sprock, an unnamed lady.
Right.
Sprock being the guy that sold, gave Mabel the pig. But,
right.
I don't believe he was part of the original.
Thank you. I don't know why, for some reason, my head told me that for a second. Thank you for...
No, it's okay,
so I forgot,
too, dude.
Yes. So, yeah, the end, by the way, speaking of some ciphers, as we always do, the end credit cipher is Osamkids, which is I eat kids, when translated.
Now, I don't know if you have this on hand, but do you have the translated part of the page that came after?
The numbers?
Yes.
Yes, I do. At the play or at the fair, I always see them standing there, dressed in black. They're on my lawn. But when I turn in my head, they're gone.
Ah, agents. I like you all.
Yes.
Thank you for that.
But when I turn my head, they're gone. I don't say in my head. I was like, wait a minute, in my head. I was like, what the fuck?
Nice. I like that.
Yes.
Because now people are like, what are they talking about? And then you'll find the fans who are halfway into it enough to translate the ciphers who will now mm-hmm. find out, oh, my God, the agents are in every episode, too. Like, little subtle
yes.
stuff where we all know the agents are there now in terms of, like, Reddit, Tumblr, us specifically, you and me, Matt. We know it's there. But not everybody does, and it's just a subtle thing that they're doing here, GF, to make it so everyone can be as into the fandom as possible. Where it's like, if
yes.
you're missing a little thing, get in on it, because
yes, no, and that's
we're all
why
obsessed.
I yes, and that's why I bring up rewatchability, because you can do that, you know, where they have things like the agents blend and blend and stuff like that. So it makes you think, oh damn, I gotta rewatch this. Something like Stan would basically be punching you repeatedly in the face while you're down crying. Actually, it would be doing that to you.
It's a thing where how do you make a show rewatchable besides it being good? You do this kind of stuff, and it's amazing
yes.
because it's essentially like replay value for a video game, where it's like you want to go back to get every little thing. You want to be as part of a fandom as possible here, so you're sitting there trying to find a way to rewatch these episodes. And granted, I think I've seen every episode at least more than once, because I don't want to miss
yes.
anything.
Yes, no, and I understand that completely. Where, you know, I don't know why there aren't DVDs just yet, but when there are, you can bet your ass I'm snagging one. You can bet your ass I'm putting them on our website that you can buy through us through Amazon or something like that, because,
right.
damn it, I want to promote these DVDs like hell. I want to have these DVDs on my shelf. Well, actually, let me clarify. There is one DVD out, and it's only one of those, like, compilation DVDs where I think it was just 6 episodes. Not even the first 6, I think, but just 6 episodes thrown onto a DVD. So it does exist, but they haven't created season box sets as of yet for some reason. Not sure why, but
maybe it's just too quick. But hey, you know,
Too quick? We waited a year. It would have been perfect Netflix opportunity.
Way, right?
It did. When I was looking up the dates and I was going, this is episode 9, right? It was just like, oh, God, it was a year. And so, yeah, you're right. It didn't seem like it until it hit me. And I was like, that was a full freaking year wait. We sat there and we thought, okay, like, just we'll get it soon. It won't be canceled. It'll probably be canceled. But, yeah, before we go, you know, anything you want to mention on the episode before I have to promote everything that we've ever done and will do?
No, I'm thinking about it, but it's like, I think I covered everything that I really wanted to talk about. Got all the jokes in.
Mm-hmm.
We got Robbie's parents in. We got the giant flaming balloon in.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess, I mean, if I want to be more angry at Mabel, I could mention the fact that she did give up her, no, because it just reoccurred to me. When the love god showed her visions of past, she just immediately was like, oh, yes, you can have whatever you need. Just
well, again, she's shown as a very immature 12, which I think is interesting because usually it is the reverse where, you know, people say a lot about how men and women are portrayed, but I do have to say that as kids, it's usually, oh, the girl smarter than the boy, always smarter than the boy, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no,
at least, if
thing,
not in
though,
the media,
because,
at least in real life.
Right, but with Mabel, I mean, like, okay, romance has been a big thing for her this season. Because you look at, okay, you look at Gabe. That's an episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look at what was the blind eye thing. She was willing to erase her,
her mind.
Because of romance. And then you look at this episode, and of course the lovers of past just completely get to her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of, like, I feel like romance is a big theme for her.
Mm-hmm. Yes, if I can, I'm going to check out when this episode was made, because we know when it was released, obviously, but there's always a chance that the production order, maybe how it was made, was out of order. So, because there's always a chance that one episode was put over another, you know, at the end, because most of these are pretty episodic, to where most of this episode wouldn't have mattered if it was after Society of the Blind Eye, but you can see the parts that would matter.
Mm-hmm.
So I sadly, I don't think I can check that right now, but I'll definitely make sure to write that down, and we'll have that by next episode. Yes, January, we'll be able to comment on what we just said, on what I just said. But because as of right now, we sadly have to go. More computer trouble, so I want to make sure that nothing explodes on me.
Yeah.
But anyway, I would like to say thank you guys, you know, for listening to those guys. As always, we're very happy to have you all listening in. Regardless of how you're doing it, if you're doing it live, if you're doing it after, if you're doing it through iTunes, whatever it may be, you know, just, again, thank you all for listening in and being a part of us. Remember that we do have a YouTube that we will be constantly updating on a week-by-week basis, sometimes even a bit more frequent than that, you know, which we will, you know, again, if you're wondering, well, what's the link to our YouTube? Well, our Tumblr, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com. We have our first video there, the Pokemon Abridged movie, which is very short and very stupid. And I consider it funny, but again, very badly made on purpose for comedy's sake.
When you're done, I haven't mentioned something, but go on.
Okay. You know, Tumblr, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com. We also have our old episodes on there, which again, you can get through iTunes by searching up Those Guys, but you also go on there and you'll see, you know, we've done WWE shows, WWE pay-per-views, Black Dynamite, Gotham, Mike Tyson Mysteries, The Flash, Arrow, Pokemon games, Bleach movies, Dragon Ball Z movies, first two episodes of Dragon Ball Kai, and, you know, the first Dragon Ball movie. And many more, Steven Universe, and many more. We also have ourselves a Facebook /Those Guys on the Radio, where we post new episodes and some older ones as well. We also have our Twitter @Those Guys Radio. We also have our Instagram /Those Guys on the Radio, where we post, you know, new pictures with our episodes, and of course, you know, some future stuff as well. Same thing with our Twitter. We have our Gmail, thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com, where you can email us about either promotional opportunities where we can promote your product or your company, and, you know, legal, by the way. And also, you can give us show ideas. You can do that through our Tumblr as well, but of course, our Gmail works just the same. What do you want to say, Satish?
Someone noted this, and this is Gravity Falls relevant before we go.
Right.
If you remember the hoax photo that came out about McGucket supposedly being the author
yes.
of the books?
Yes, yes, yes.
Hertz addressed this about a week and a half ago.
Oh.
And we didn't catch wind of it, and I just caught wind of it.
Okay.
This is the quote verbatim from Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
1. Make hoax. 2. Upload to 4chan. 3. Post angry tweet about leak. 4. Delete tweet. 5. Let internet do the rest. Attached is a photo of him pointing to the leaked photo and smiling.
Oh, you son of a Hirsch.
I am so pleased right now.
Son of a Hirsch.
Because I believed it, because it made sense, and they wrote it so well.
Yes. All right, so on that note, let's end this. We'll end it with what would have been our opening song. But anyway, yes, so thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. We mentioned our social media accounts. We mentioned our social media accounts before, because in the near future, we will be having another Christmas Pokemon giveaway. When will you know about it? Well, I mean, you have to follow our account to know about it. So you should probably do that. And how will you be able to enter? Well, again, you follow our social media accounts, and you will learn how to do that. Pokemon December Christmas giveaway, which will be on our social media accounts.
Fuck you, Alex Hirsch.
So, good night, everybody.
Not to you, Alex Hirsch.
We control the balls.
He controls the ball. He actually does. I'm hurt.
Guys, I figured it out. We control
we just
the
did.
Balls. Now he gets it. Oh, you guys.
Our lives are filled with nonstop fun. But there's nothing like a home in one.
That was to make us just a little bit happier.
Fuck you, Alex.